You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Lord.
Is life really tough for you today? Then you've come to the right place. Today, the Bible bus pulls up to Psalms 76 through 78, where God's Word provides us with comfort for dark times. I'm Steve Schwetz, and thanks for joining us on Through the Bible. Now, in just a minute, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins in Psalm 76. But first, here are a few words that he recorded about our financial policies and standards. I think that you'll be surprised by what he has to say.
And I trust many of you have our notes and outlines. If not, we have a set for you. All you would have to do is write and ask for the book of Psalms. You'd get the notes, and then you'd be sent the notes as we go along for the next 5 years. You'd not have to ask again. This is something that would not cost you anything, but of course, everyone understands that the radio time costs something, that the printing of all of this material costs something. But we have found out if you're not able to send anything, we understand that. And be sure and write, because I've learned a long time ago that if you're not able to send, if somebody down the road or across the street or in another town, that will send in enough for them and for you too. So we do want you on our mailing list. We started out with a policy of not asking anyone, not using the begging method, pleading and begging. We just don't believe that's God's method. And what we do is this. We go on a radio station, and we do expect the listeners of that station to support it. After we've been on that station for about 6 months, if the funds do not come in, we cancel the program. I generally give a warning what we're going to do, but we do not start begging in order to get people to give. We just cancel and go to another station. And over the years, we found out that that is the way for us to go. I don't say everybody else should do that. And we believe that the Lord will speak to the hearts of the people. And from time to time, we just call attention to the fact we're as much dependent upon the gifts of listeners as any program is. That's the way this ministry's carried on. And our foreign ministry's carried on exactly like that. Only we don't ask the people who listen in other languages to give. That is a foreign method to them, let me tell you, to begin with. And then many of them are not able to give in India, and they couldn't in the countries back of an iron curtain. And so we have found out a great many people are concerned about getting the Word of God out to the peoples of the world today. And they are the ones that are supporting the program. And so we just mention this to you that you might know that this is the way that we have of carrying on our ministry. Now, if you believe in it, and people ought to put their money where they're getting their blessing, if this program is a blessing to you, we do ask you to support. If it's not, we're not asking you to. That's just as simple as that.
Well, we're grateful for your faithful prayers and financial support as you partner with us to share God's Word in more than 200 languages all around the world. If you want to find out more about how you can provide maybe a tank of gas or a new set of tires to keep the Bible bus rolling along in your hometown and every country of the globe, just visit ttb.org/give or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also write Through the Bible at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. And if you haven't yet gotten your copy of the free notes and outlines that Dr. McGee mentioned, they're available in a couple of different ways. First, if you use our app, you've already got them, by the way. They're all right there, and if you don't have the app yet, look for it in your app store. But remember, you can also download the notes and outlines. You can do it individually for each book of the Bible, or the complete Briefing the Bible in one large PDF. Both of those can be had at ttb.org. And if you don't want to do it that way, you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll send you an abridged copy. Now let's pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, we intercede for those who are going through some dark times. We ask that your words would give them comfort and peace in the midst of their difficulties. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're off to Psalms 76 through 78 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the 76th Psalm. And I trust you do have the text there before you. It'll make this indeed more meaningful to you. And we today are moving in a section that I would like for you to note. And I trust that this is a point I'm getting over here. And it is that the Psalms are not only the Word of God, but they have been arranged. And I'm not going to insist that the arrangement is inspired. I'm just going to say this, that they tell a story, and you miss a great deal of the message if you miss the arrangement and the message that develops in each one of these series. Now, you will recall that the psalm before this, that is Psalm 75, said, "Arise, O God," and it was a great prayer. And God heard the cry of his people now, as we see here in this 76th psalm. And this psalm is a prophetic psalm also. And God will deliver his people out of the clutches, as we saw, of a northern power. And their help, they couldn't get it from the east or west or the south. And why not the north? Because that's where their trouble was coming from. That's when Russia comes down into that land, which we believe will be in the Great Tribulation period. Now, this is a very brief psalm, and the next one that comes after this is also a psalm that shows the Lord Jesus reigning in his kingdom as the king priest, the true Melchizedek, and man on this earth is in subjection to him. We talk about a dictator. The Lord Jesus, when he rules, is going to be that, and if you don't love him, want to serve him, you wouldn't find it heaven anyway in that day. And so he's arranged for those who don't want him to be in another place. Now, I come to this psalm. It's a very wonderful psalm. And I'm going to read it in this translation that I've been using. Follow us very closely. In Judah, God is known. In Israel, his name is great. In Salem is found his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Now, there are four geographical places mentioned here, and none of them have to do with Los Angeles, California, or New York City, or any state in the Union, for that matter. Judah is over there. Israel is over there. Salem is Jerusalem, and his tabernacle is there. And then Zion is over there. Now, these are four geographical places. You couldn't miss this. What he's talking about is that land in this psalm. Now, the fact that it has a blessing for us, that is not the interpretation, but the application of the psalm. And I believe all scriptures for us. Now, will you notice? We read, "There breaks he the glitterings of the bow, sealed and sowed, and weapons of war." That's the day that the prophets spoke of, when they'll beat their swords into plowshare. And until he reigns, you better take that verse off the United Nations, because it won't work until he reigns. But this speaks of peace that's coming on this earth, and he's going to bring peace to this earth. And until the sin of the human heart is either dealt with in redemption or judgment, there can never be peace on the earth. Now, I move on. When he judges, this is what's going to happen to the arrogant, proud, rich crowd that today walk up and down this earth. Listen to him. "Thou art shining forth gloriously above the mountains of prey." Now, what are the mountains of prey? Well, that's Jerusalem. That place has been besieged 27 times. I have a record of 27 times that the city of Jerusalem was taken and destroyed or partially destroyed by the enemy. It's been a mountain of prey. The enemy's been there. Now it says, "Spoiled were the stout-hearted. They fell asleep in their sleep." That is an interesting expression. They fell asleep in their sleep. How can you do that? That means that they were not alert, not aware. The world today lies asleep, John says, in the arms of the wicked one. In other words, the world's like a little baby, and the devil has the world asleep. And he says to Vernon McGee, he says, hush, don't give out the word so loud. You'll wake them up. He doesn't want them waked up. That's what we're trying to do, is wake up the babies. Tell them judgment is coming, but also tell them there's a redemption for them if they'll turn to Christ. Oh, what a wonderful psalm this is. Now, will you notice, and none of the valiant ones found their hands, I tell you, waking out of sleep, that were like they were in the days of Gideon, you remember, when the Midianites all waked up, and they heard the trumpets, and they saw the light. They knew they were taken, and they couldn't even find their sword. That is, some of them couldn't. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both chariot and horse are brought down into a deep sleep. This is the time when he's coming, and we are told here he shineth forth gloriously. Thou art shining forth gloriously. This is the time that Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 61, when he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, we sometimes sing that in Christmas. Actually, it has no fulfillment at Christmas. That is, at the birth of Christ. It will be fulfilled when he comes again to this earth. And this will be a great day, and it's yet in the future. Now, he says also, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall spread a defense. That's Isaiah 4:5, and it speaks of that day that's coming. The Shekinah glory will be there, of course, in the person of Christ. The day of vengeance is come now, the day of vengeance of our God. And we read that in verse 7. Thou must be feared, and who can stand before thee when thou art angry? From heaven thou didst thunder forth in judgment. The earth feared and became silent when God arose to judge, to save all the meek of the earth. Now the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? John said that in Revelation 6:17. Now all things are going to be put under his feet. Listen to this. Verse 10. For the wrath of man praiseth thee. Thou restrainest the remainder of wrath. And God says that he lets man go only so far. And I think during the Great Tribulation, though, he takes off all restraint, lets man go the limit. But today, man's being restrained. And the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Who else can restrain evil in the world? And the wrath of man praiseth thee. God's going to make the wrath of man. And if he can't make it praise him, he won't let it happen, by the way. And then we're told here, it says, thou restrainest the remainder of wrath. Bow and pay unto Jehovah your God. Let all that are round about him bring presents. Now, this is the time when the psalmist again says, his people are willing a day of his power. My, this is a great psalm. Now we come to Psalm 77, and this is a psalm to Jeduthun. You remember that Jeduthun was a musician, and he's the chief musician. And Asaph wrote this psalm for him, either to play or to sing it. And now this is a psalm that reveals the time of deep soul searching because of the perplexity in the minds of the people in that day. Faith has its problem, and faith can find a solution. And listen to the way it opens. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's a good time to seek him, by the way, in the day of trouble. I do not know whether I read the letter yet or not. I was reading it here to myself of the man who lost his position. And he wouldn't listen to our program at all till he got out of a job, nothing to do. And then he got down right to the nitty-gritty. And when he did, he turned to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. It's well to cry to the Lord in the time of trouble. And he gave ear unto me. God will hear you, friends. If you're in trouble, you're in need, you can go to him. He's real. I hear a lot of soloists sing, oh, it's real. I sometimes wonder whether it is. with them, the way they sing it and also the way they live. My friend, it's real, but it's not by me saying it, and it's not even because it's written here. It's because you find out it's true yourself. And he's already told us, taste of the Lord, see whether he's good or not. Try this thing out. Now he says here, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to become. I think his sore was not physical, but actually it's an open sore of the soul. And here's another wonderful thing he did, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. That's a wonderful thing if you can sing at night, but I don't mean to sing out loud and wake up everybody, but I remember my song in the night. Do you remember your song in the night? The night is the time that when you wake up, the fears come to you. Problems loom large. Everything in the dark looks bigger than it really is. And that's the time to worry. But can you remember your song in the night? This is a glorious thing. Now, there are some perplexing questions that are raised here. Beginning at verse 7, listen to this. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he? And will he be favorable no more? Will he? Is then his loving kindness ended forever? Hath his word failed for all generations? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he shut up in anger his compassions? I would say there's a practical atheist. But I've asked those questions too. Maybe you have. You know, there are a great many of us today that are believers, but we practice atheism. Well, we act as if God doesn't exist and he doesn't hear our prayer. He's thrown us overboard and he's no longer favorable and he's no longer expressing his grace. My friend, God is good and he wants to be gracious to you. I don't know who you are today or what you've done, but God wants to be good to you and be gracious to you. By this psalm, it gets right down where we live. Now let me drop on down, verse 13. Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is as great a God as our God? Now you'll remember that as we began this section, it's the Leviticus section of the psalm. We said the thing that's prominent here is the holiness of God, because it's all anchored to the sanctuary in the Holy of Holies. Now, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is as great a God as our God? And that is something that we need to recognize, and I think for believers today, forget not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're enjoined to meet with God's people. And I don't believe God's going to let you go off in a corner or let me right here on the radio turn the radio off and enjoy the Word of God by myself. I think he'd dry me up in a moment. I think he'll do that for you too. We're to share this together and we have to grow together. I don't believe that these super duper saints today, I don't believe in them. God won't let you go way out ahead of me, friends. You will have to share the Word with me and the blessing with me. And therefore, the way of God is in the sanctuary. And if you're going to find answers to your questions, you need to meet with God's people. I had a young man that came by the other evening to see me. He started a men's Bible class way up here on the desert in a little town. He's a bank officer, and he's got a group of men. He wanted me to come up and speak, and I couldn't go at that time at all, and I regretted it because he says we're not getting the word up there in the churches. Now he says, we've just been meeting together. Well, may I say to you, there are a lot of good churches, though, today. I have a wonderful letter here, and I generally share them at the beginning of the program. And this party wrote and said this, I'm a Christian mother with five wonderful children that God has given to us to guide for him. They're all saved, except the baby who's 17 months old. We're fortunate enough to be members of a Bible-teaching church, where our pastor is led by God instead of man. So he's one of these precious men of God who has been rebuked and had his life threatened because of his boldness for God. Our cup truly is running over with joy as we see God work in the hearts of people and change their lives. Now, friends, that's unusual, and that's the reason I saved this letter to share it like this, because I hear a lot of criticism, but I want you to know There are a lot of good Bible-believing churches today that still remain. Now, if you have one where the Word of God is preached and taught, you go get with that group of people, and you can grow that way. You'll find the answer to a lot of your problems there, my friend. And I believe you will on this program, too. I believe as we meet around the Word of God, and I like the letter because it says something nice about a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching preacher. Now, you see, the devil is subtle today. He does not attack the Bible in a frontal attack. He's attacking the man who stand for the Word of God. That's been his method, by the way. Then he closes this wonderful psalm where he says, "The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water." This is a scene that has to do with the sea. And verse 19 makes it clear, "Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, thy footsteps are not known. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And it refers specifically to God leading them across the Red Sea. And God is able to deliver his people today from the flood tide of atheism, lawlessness, and immorality. And I think this is the picture of it. Now we come in Psalm 78. It's a historical psalm, and you see here the failure of the people, but the faithfulness of God. It's a wonderful psalm, and he calls upon God to hear and answer him. "Give ear, O my people, to my law." First, of course, it's the call of God here to his people, and he asks them to give ear and to hear him. And he mentions in verse 9, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, and kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in the law." Now that is a direct reference in 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, when you'll recall Ephraim did not go to the battle, and God took note of it. That's a very interesting thing and a very remarkable thing. Now you see, as you go through this section, beginning at verse 17, you see the failure of God's people. It was Israel then. It's the church today, but God's faithfulness in all of it. Notice verse 17, "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking food according to their desire. Yea, they spoke against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" That, again, is practical atheism today on the part even of God's people. And what did he do? Verse 25, "Man did eat angels' food. He sent them food to the field. He gave them all that they needed," my friend, and yet they are doubting God and criticizing God. This is a very wonderful psalm, by the way, this psalm here, and it's a very lengthy psalm, but that's as far as we are going to get in it, except at the end we have this. It's a psalm that covers their history. It's a historical psalm all the way, actually, from Egypt to David. And then verse 70, "He chose David his servant, took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand." That is, God did that. God was faithful to them. He's faithful to us today, friends. We leave right off there, but begin next time with Psalm 79. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Let's read through Psalm 79, 80, and 81 to prepare our hearts for next time. If you'd like to join other Through the Bible listeners in making a habit of reading God's Word before each study, and that's a really good idea, by the way, we offer a free bookmark that outlines the schedule. You can get yours at ttb.org/bookmark, where you can also sign up for our mailing list to receive it in the mail along with our newsletter. And I personally do it that way. I love getting the newsletter. It's got a ton of really good information. It's such an encouragement. Or if we can help you sign up, in doing that, you can always call us as well at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. What would cause you to turn from the God of your fathers to atheism? Well, for many Jews, it was the horrific suffering they faced in the Holocaust. We'll learn more about this next time as we continue our 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. This is your radio pastor, James E. Ross of New Life Assembly of God. We're the church in the city with the city in its heart. We're concerned about every breathing person that God has allowed to be on the planet called Earth. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, just stay tuned and you will be blessed and have an understanding of who He is and what He has done for you. Praise God. We thank Him for everything. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We ask that you would bless this broadcast. Bless those, Lord God, that tune into the broadcast. Anoint their ears that they will be able to hear the truth of your word, and anoint their hearts that they would receive this everlasting, eternal word of Almighty God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Well, today, this morning, we want to talk about name that's above every name. Praise God. I said name that's above every name. And we want to go into Ephesians 1, first of all, and verse 19, we want to look at that. And if the Spirit moved mightily where start preaching instead of teaching, then let Him have His way. Praise God. Because He is in control. He is the guide and the teacher. And when we humble ourselves unto the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us in due time and do what He wants to do in that prescribed hour. Praise God. Amen. Minister Gloria, would you start us out here reading in Ephesians 1 there, verse 19, please? And as we go along, I might just jump in, praise God, and further elaborate on the scripture. Praise God.
And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us with? Who believe according to the working of His mighty power?
Praise God. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us with who believe? We are believers, and we understand the power that rests with and in and by and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we believe. So Paul's writing this. This is like a prayer. And Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's telling them, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Mighty power, dunamis power, praise God, that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Glory to God. Can you imagine for a moment? Set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. But this is a kicker. Far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and above every name. Glory to God. I said every name. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Glory to God. Amen. We're talking about a name that's above every name.
Amen.
And Mr. Glory, you know, the name of Jesus is above every name.
Every name. Everything has a name.
Amen.
But His name is above that. Those
praise,
names.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. His name is above everything. Well, we look at everything that we see out here today has some name to it. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the ascended Lord, His name is above every name. Glory to God. Not only in this world, but in the world to come.
Praise
God. Hallelujah. What are we talking about here?
Mm.
We're talking about His name is higher.
Amen.
Above all other names. His name is Jesus. I call Him Lord. His name is higher above all others. His name is Jesus. I call Him Lord.
Amen. Praise
God. You know, I had to throw that in there. Praise
yes.
God, because
yes.
His name is higher than any other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what name it is, the name of Jesus. And Minister Glory, when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
glory to God. Now, having faith in his name,
right.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, there's nothing can withstand us.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can subdue us. That we have the power. Glory to God. Our faith is in his name.
Yes.
Amen. And what is his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. You want to continue to read that verse? His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. I call him Lord. Praise God. Don't listen to the tune. Just stay with the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God.
And put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church.
Now, he put all things under his feet. Has been put all things under his feet. And Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
Glory to God. So if it's under his feet, it's under your feet.
That's
praise
right.
God. Because you are the church.
Mm-hmm.
If you are truly born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to his wonderful name. I praise God, thanking him, because everything has been placed beneath his feet.
That's right.
And made him to be the what? The head of the church.
Head of the church.
Glory to God.
I said all things to the church.
All things to the church.
Amen.
Praise God. All things to the church. And I tell you, a lot of us sometimes, no matter where we are, when we're having services and so forth, we should check in with headquarters.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is the head of the church, so we should check in with headquarters and see what he wants instead of us trying to run our programs and do what we want to do. And you find that, praise God, everywhere you go, you find people running their own thing. But the head of the church, what is he doing? You know, matter of fact, glory to God. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, I tell you what he's doing. He's standing outside the church trying to get in there. Because what's happening is that we've laced our services with what we want to do instead of allowing the head of the church to come in and take full control. You know, in Revelation 3 and verse 20, Minister Glory, praise God, I just had to throw that in. The Spirit gave it to me.
It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Now, Jesus standing outside the door. We've looked at this, and the matter of fact, this verse of scripture has double reference. And it's been utilized as, you know, Jesus wanted to come into the heart of an individual. Praise God. Now, we're not trying to deny that. Praise God. But the scripture is telling us, because we're talking about the church.
Yeah, that's right.
So, praise God. So, he's trying to get into the church. And why are we keeping the one that's the head of the church out of the church? We want his presence to be in what we're doing.
Amen.
In everything we're doing. Because his name is greater. His name is higher.
Yes.
And what it is that when the Lord Jesus Christ's presence is where we are, praise God, then there every need will be met. No matter what your need may be, it will be met. Praise God. That's why we glorify him. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't exalt him but so much, because he's already been exalted. What we're doing is that we are praising God, enjoying Jesus every Sunday morning. Praise God. Giving him praise.
Right.
Forget about what name it is. Lift up Jesus.
Lift up Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel this thing. I feel like preaching, but I have to be obedient to the Spirit. Teach
God
this word. Glory to God. So, Minister Glory, so what's happening is that his name is above every name.
Yes.
His name is above high blood pressure.
Ooh, glory to God.
Amen. The high blood pressure is just the name. But his name is above high blood pressure.
That's right.
His name is above arthritis.
Glory to God.
A lot of people talking about old Arthur. Let me tell you something. I want this thing to be understood that the name of Jesus is above every name. And we have to believe that.
Yes, we do. Must believe.
Praise God. We have to believe that his name is above every name. Because the word of God says that, and we should believe it.
That's right.
as a child of God.
That's right. Because in Philippians 2 and 9, it says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
So, wait a minute.
Ooh.
He has been given...
given a name.
A name.
That's above every name.
That's above every name. So mm-hmm. God the Father has given him his name.
That's
praise
right.
God. His name. Given him a name, or his name, mm-hmm. which is above every name.
Every name.
Now that word every means that it's every name. I don't care what it is that mm-hmm. that somebody has placed a name to it. When we look at that, we say, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The name of Jesus is above every name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Every name. Praise God. You want to finish reading?
And it says that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Praise God. I tell you, yeah, the ascended Lord,
yeah.
risen Savior.
Everyone is going
name,
to.
Name that's above every name.
Everybody.
Amen.
Is going to, he's going to bow. And tongue's going to confess
a-
that
amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Well, you're not going to stand. Well, you're going to stand before well, God.
Before up you, or down.
And you're going to confess.
That's right.
You're going to say that name.
That name.
Praise
glory
God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. That name.
Mm-hmm.
Name's above every name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Well, let's look at what the Word of God is saying here, because he's been given a name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why... if, he said he never counted robbery to be equal to God.
That's what it says.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's what it said.
That's then. What it says. Mm-hmm.
You know, to be equal with God. So, well, I say it this way, that everything that comes out of the Godhead is God.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are one. But Jesus has been given a name because he came out of the Godhead, stepped out of the Godhead
yes.
to come here to save an old wretch like me. My God. Came to save an old wretch like me. Praise God.
Amen.
And now I believe that he is who he said that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Glory to his wonderful name.
I believe that by faith.
Amen.
Because the only way we're going to please God is by faith.
Praise God. Well, that name, we're talking about the name,
mm-hmm.
the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The name that's above every name. Let's look at another verse of scripture here, because you've looked at, well, we talked about Ephesians 1. You know, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also looked at Philippians 2, I think you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Let's go into another verse of scripture here, into Acts, the 3rd chapter there. Praise God. We want to look and we talk about a name that's above every name.
Praise God.
You know, when we use the name of Jesus,
yes.
all power is in that name.
All power is in that name.
Amen. Amen. And when we realize the power that's in that name, we're able to withstand any opposition that will come against us as a child of God.
Amen.
Because we understand that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
Now, in Acts, the 3rd chapter here, praise God,
mm-hmm.
We look at when Peter and John was going up into the temple
mm-hmm.
at the 9th hour, prayer, praise God. And there was a man at the gate there called Beautiful, I think it
yes.
was. And,
yep.
And he, you know, the scripture tells us that that man was carried there. You know, he had to be carried because it said that he was lame from his mother's womb. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he never walked. And I strongly believe now, I cannot validate this in its entirety, but Peter and John, they were going up into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could it be, I don't know for certain, but could it be that Jesus went past that man
yeah.
in going into the temple?
Sure he did.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But see, it wasn't time for
exactly
for this man's blessing to come upon him.
Mm-hmm.
This man's sitting out there at the gate asking for alms.
Yes.
Otherwise, he's begging.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. When you know the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You know what he's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know the power that rests in his name. Praise God.
Yes.
You don't have to beg. God takes care of his own.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I say God takes care of his own.
He said,
praise
but
God.
But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus.
Well, everything that's being done, praise God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
It is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's what it is. You just quoted a verse of scripture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ. Which strengthens us.
Amen.
So everything is being done through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But his name,
mm-hmm.
glory to God, hallelujah. His name is above every name. And I tell you that we don't have to falter in any sense. We just use the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus.
Well, I'm married to him.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. From mm-hmm. a spiritual standpoint,
yes,
I'm married to him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, he and I are one.
That's right.
Praise God. You and Jesus are one as well, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm in him and he's in me.
Right.
Praise God. And that's why I can use his name. He's given me the opportunity or the authority to use his name. So Peter and John, they're going up into the temple there, and this man is sitting there at the gate called Beautiful there,
mm-hmm.
sticking his hands out, asking for alms. Otherwise, he wants money.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When you have never walked, money should not be your problem.
No.
Your problem should be, well, I want to walk. Glory to God. I want to get up from here so I can take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. So he's sitting there and he sees Peter and John. Now, well, I want to tell you something. First of all, you see, they are anointed men of God.
Praise God.
Amen. How many of us realize that the anointing destroys the yoke? Whatever bondage that you're in, if you are anointed of God,
yes.
Praise God. And that anointing, their anointing manifests itself from you, yokes are destroyed, and burdens are released,
Lord of God.
Removed,
mm-hmm.
only by the anointing. It's not sweet words or anything that we want to say to anybody, because I tell you, suppose Peter and John say, well, we don't have no money,
mm-hmm.
but you did.
That's what you did.
But first of all, he says,
such as I have, give thee the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Yes, but now they looking at us. The man had to look at us. He had to get the attention of them. He said,
mm-hmm.
Look on us.
Look on us.
Glory to God. I said, look on us.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something out there in Radio Land. If you happen to be in the area where someone is sick, decrepit, paralyzed, or whatever it is, can you tell them to look on you? What it is that's on the inside of you that will be able to break the yoke of bondage that that person is in? Well, I want to tell you, it's the anointing of God.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's the anointing of God. So Peter and John said, look on us.
Yes, that's what they said.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And the man got his attention. Now, I can only visualize for a moment that his hands was stretched out thinking that they were going to give him some money.
Right.
You don't need no money. You need to be able to walk and to glorify God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that he said, look on us.
Mm-hmm.
Fasten your eyes on us.
Yes.
Praise God. And what did he do, Bishop Glory?
He put his hand out, expecting to receive something of them.
Yes.
But Peter said to them, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Now let's read that again.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I.
Wait a minute, don't. You're going too fast there.
Mm-hmm. But such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, that's the name of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Well, let's look at it this way here. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Well, what do you have? If you see someone there that's asking for alms, folks panhandling and so forth, and they ask, no, they don't need no money.
Mm-hmm.
They need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
So what Peter and John did is that told them, listen, such as I have, give I thee. What did he have?
Woo.
He had the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
With the utilization and the authority of using that matchless, wonderful, and powerful name, the name of Jesus. And he grabbed him by the ankle?
No, by the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength.
Glory to God. We're talking about the anointing, name that's above every name.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And this
he
man.
Went leaping up. He went leaping and walking and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Ooh, hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. He forgot all about the money. He didn't need no money. He needs Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. He needs to be able to get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is that he got up leaping.
That's right.
Jumping, glory to God. What a scene.
Praising God.
And praising God. Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And praising God.
Mm-hmm.
This impotent man that was there. Praising God.
Yes.
Lame from his mother's womb. Never walked a day in his life. Carried there daily at that gate to beg. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you, he didn't have to beg no more. So he's no more a lame man.
No.
He's praising God.
That's right.
His future, glory to God, is just as bright as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's praising God.
Amen.
And going with Peter and John up into the temple.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Praise God.
To praise God. Mm-hmm. And you always have some old religious folks there that try to stifle or perhaps criticize what's going on. When Peter and John and the lame man that was lame got up there in the temple, them folks, they were worrying about, well, what is he doing here?
Praise the Lord.
Can you imagine him going, well, what is he doing here? Now, they passed by this man day in and day out because they had to go through the entrance to get up into the temple. This man here was there asking for alms. So what happened when they saw him inside the synagogue, well, what is he doing here?
Praise God.
What is he? They should have been happy to see that this man now is walking.
That's right.
This man has been delivered from whatever the problem that he had. Never walked in his life, but now he's walking. And folks sitting up there, now they're criticizing him. Well, what is he doing here?
Yes.
What is he doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
You always have folks that got religion that try to pin you down, and they're not concerned about your well-being. They just want to be able to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God Peter told them, glory to God. Mm-hmm. Peter said, don't look on us.
That's right.
As if we've done some great thing. No, don't listen. The glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But wait a minute, Mr. Glory.
It says, and his name.
Faith. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
When this man got up, but he got up at the name of Jesus.
That's right. Exactly.
That's how he got up. He got up at the name of Jesus. He didn't get up because Peter and John.
No,
he got up at the name of Jesus. Now, how did Peter say that? How did John say it? Rise up.
Mm-hmm.
He won.
And walk.
But rise up.
And walk.
But rise up.
And walk.
In the name.
Well, in 16, it says, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
Praise God. But I'm talking about back there at the gate. He rose up in the name of Jesus.
Yes, he did. Because that's what
praise God.
In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Mm-hmm.
Rise up in the name of
Jesus.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Rise up and walk.
Yes.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever problems you may have out there in Radio Land, I want to tell you today, listen, rise up.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, give him all the praise.
Yes.
But keep in mind that the name, his name, is above every name.
Yes.
And this impotent man, praise God, standing there in the temple praising God, glorifying God.
Yes.
Thanking him for everything that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that in the 16th verse of the third chapter, Peter says, His name. Through faith in his name.
Amen.
A lot of folks are calling on the name.
Right.
They're saying the name, but they don't have faith in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures emphatically tells us that we have that name, and it has to be faith.
And his name is Jesus.
And Yes, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you all out there in Radio Land that Lord Jesus Christ loves you. Mm-hmm. But if you are a child of God, your faith should rest in no one less than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The opportunity that you have right now is that just as it says there in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. That's that wonderful name. So I want to just tell you today that put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is right there, right where you are. And all you need to do is to unchain your heart and open that door. And he'll come in. Just ask him to come in.
Yes,
and he'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He'll come in. And he will save you.
Yeah,
so we thank God for that right now. So I pray today that you all that have tuned into this broadcast have received something from this message. And I pray that you would continue to tune in onto the next broadcast. This is Pastor Ross and Minister Glory Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is Lord, and the devil is defeated.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.